Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Mike Lynch here.
Hey, and I'm Patrick Harris.
You probably like baseball, which is why you're listening to this. This is the Hot Corner Podcast.
Well, I kind of like baseball. I guess I'll tune in.
Baseball's pretty neat, so thanks for listening. This is brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Center.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
Woo, baseball!
Now the pitch by Martinez is up and in and hits Gerald Williams on the left hand.
Dig your cleats in.
Now he's going to charge the mound. He's going to charge Martinez and the fight is on. He got a right hand in before he's grabbed from behind by Varitek. And now the benches are empty.
It's time for hour two of the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris.
Yerzynski wanting to know, am I going? He is going.
And Mike Lynch.
It is a collision at the plate. And Yerzynski not only
step up to the plate for hour two of the Hot Corner.
Posehnik getting into it with Barrett. I mean, there is some hooking going on in the bottom of two piles.
On 1080.
Rudez had helped. Whoa. Bautista got all he could handle with that. Wow. That's some pretty solid contact right there.
The Fan.
Welcome into the second hour of the Hot Corner. If you missed any of the first hour, you can get that all on the Les Schwab Tires podcast at 10inthefan.com. You can also find that on Twitter. Beers on Us podcast drops tomorrow. That is a recap of Portland Beer Week that just down. Woo! I'm glad we made it through it. This year was a little more fun for me than normal. Normally, I have to work all the time. This year, I actually got out to some stuff, so you can download that. We'll get that ready for you.
I went to one event, and it was the one we did the podcast for last week.
So that was a fun event, though.
It was, yeah.
It was probably my highlight of the week.
Good.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I had a good week. Depends on what your highlight was.
Is it because I was there?
It's because you were there, Mike. The food was really good.
It was really good.
The beer was really good, too.
It was really good.
So we'll get to that. You can download that wherever you get your podcasts. That'll be out tomorrow around 4 o'clock. We got Fair or Foul at the bottom of the hour, so make sure you check that out. But, Mike, you were reading an article from the legend that is Trevor Rosenthal.
That's not him.
No?
Ken Rosenthal.
Oh, geez.
Trevor Rosenthal's the closer who stopped being good after he got hurt.
Why did I keep thinking Trevor in my head today? I must be out of it. I must be out of it. I'm sober, excuse me. Ken Rosenthal came out with an article today about home runs that caught your eye, Mike.
It was not today. It was June 13th, so 6 days ago.
Oh, my gosh. What are we even doing here?
Sorry for misleading you, but I read it and got really frustrated after reading it.
Really?
So, and I like Ken Rosenthal, and I tend to enjoy the generic baseball guys' takes, like Buster Olney, Tim Kirchen, Jason Stark. I tend to really agree with most of the stuff they say, right?
Yeah, a bunch of old white dudes. Got it.
Right, exactly. This article.
I listen to Buster Olney every morning, so.
this article really hit me wrong.
I'm a no high horse.
And I've talked about this on the show before. I've talked about it on primetime before. I'm enjoying baseball now more than I ever have.
You said this last week on the show.
Yes. And I don't know exactly what it is, but I cannot get enough of this sport. And that is saying something considering I never can get enough of this sport. It's at a different level for me this year. I don't know why. And this article is titled, "It's Not Baseball, It's Bludgeon Ball, and the Frequency of Home Runs is Nothing Short of Numbing." That's the headline. The first sentence, Major League Baseball needs to face reality. It's time to deaden the baseball, not to create a second dead ball era, just to get back to normal. The way home runs are flying, they're losing their meaning, their relevance, their ability to connect the game of today with the game of yesterday. And if you ruin the home run records, you're risking major damage to the sport. We know this because it happened not so long ago. Know why I hated the steroid era? It wasn't just the cheating, the creation of uneven playing fields between those who used and those who did not. It also was the warping of stats, the distortion of general comparisons fans and reporters cherish, even though they rarely were apples to apples to begin with. goes on and on and on and on, and he goes, it's not baseball, it's bludgeon ball, and it's producing sensory overload. In the past 4 days, we've seen a season-high 486-foot home run by Ian Desmond, four straight homers, back by the Nationals. That was me adding that in. Four in an inning by the Braves, 13 combined by the Phillies and Diamondbacks, a major league record for a single game. The sport was averaging 2.70 homers for both teams per game, a pace that would shatter the all-time mark of 2.51 set a couple of years ago. Then he goes on for solutions, and we've read for a season or so that people think the ball is juiced a little bit, or the composition of it is different, which allows for it to fly a little bit further.
I've heard that the baseball is physically harder. Mm. So when the bat makes contact with the ball, of course, hard on hard is going to the science, the physics. Ugh.
Right. So reading this.
Oh, nice lady. That's actually a really good impression. And I'm sad that nobody mentioned anything.
Well, I stopped to let you do it. The Glavin. This article really frustrated me because I don't feel the same way about this at all. The home runs are not numbing to me. I'm not appreciating them less. In fact, I'm appreciating them more, I think, because they're more likely from players that you wouldn't even expect. They come up in a big situation. Ian freaking Desmond is the perfect example, right? He's been hot lately, but Ian Desmond sucks. He has not been a good hitter for years and years and years, and the Rockies experiment is not, it's kind of working, not really working.
I don't know about years and years and years, but I hear what you say.
He's been bad for a while. He was good.
He's been bad for like 3 years.
Yeah, for a while.
But he was really good for like
six. Did I say years and years and years? That's three?
Oh, God. Continue.
And to me, watching that Ian Desmond home run, I was like, oh, my God. Coors Field aided, sure, but I watched where that landed, and I was amazed. When I see these crazy home runs, when I watch the highlights of that Diamondbacks game against the Phillies where there was 13, it was like, this is incredible. And I wasn't saying that as a word just as an overused descriptor. It was incredible. It was awesome. I was in awe at the amount of home runs that were being hit. There's a portion of this article that says a couple of managers are just saying, Mickey Callaway, Clint Hurdle, are the two, are just saying it's bad pitching. They're leaving the ball over the middle of the plate. And you know what? They are. How many times do you see these home runs meatballs right down the middle, right? So to me, it's a combination of a lot of things that are happening, but it's not bludgeon ball that's ruining the game. Baseball in every sport goes through phases. Things happen that change the game. You might like it, you might not like it. The NBA three-point shooting has become a big thing. Passing right now is a big thing in the NFL. All sports evolve and change and keep going and going. We've seen huge boosts in home runs before. We've seen the dead ball era. We've seen baseball try to manage it. We've seen baseball do nothing. And guess what? It's still the sport of baseball that we love, even though it's a different era. And I think it's really, really, I don't want to say wrong, because you can have your own opinion, that's fine. But it just didn't sit right with me that one of the most prominent writers in baseball, who's usually very supportive about the sport, would take a giant steaming dump on it just because there's home runs, which is what we want. We want home runs as fans. And now we're getting them, and now you're trying to poo-poo it that it's too much, and now we're not going to enjoy them anymore. I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true.
Well, it was a little timely with the article because you said it was, what, last week?
June 13th, 6 days
ago. June 13th.
It was the day after the 13 home run game.
June 16th, which was Sunday, and I even said something to Sprague. I was like, dude, we might have to talk about this. Some of the run totals that were put up by teams on Sunday.
Well, Red, I mean the whole Rockies series over the weekend.
The Padres-Rockies series.
So on Sunday, Reds put up 11, Braves 15, Nationals 15, Yankees 10, Blue Jays 12, and then, yeah, Padres-Rockies. That was 14, that was a 14-13 that game. Two nights before that, I'm pretty sure it was like 14-11, and then that was the last double-digit score. So pretty 3 days after he writes that article, you had eight teams boost out 10 or more runs on that Sunday.
I think there's a lot of really interesting things about this, and I'm glad you brought this up. I think what's really scary about this is using how the game is right now to affect how the game should be viewed. And I've got a couple points that I will bring up, and we'll do that next. And we want to keep this going because I think this is a real situation that we aren't just going to discuss this week. We're going to be discussing this all season long and probably within the next 5 years as well. This is the Hot Corner. This is still, don't you forget, Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
Continuing the conversation that we had of the Ken Rosenthal article about home runs, quote unquote, basically saying is like ruining the game, hurting the game. Mike, I thought you brought up some really great points about how this game is a little more exciting. Maybe this is what we've been talking about the last few years.
Yeah.
Like how to make baseball, I think over the last few years has been a fantastic product to watch as a baseball fan, but maybe not the best product as a casual sports fan. You know what I mean? Like the 3-point and passing, as you brought up, 3-point in basketball and passing in the NFL has made the game more exciting for the common fan.
Yeah.
To where baseball, it's always been the home runs for some reason. It's always been what's common.
He says he has an uneasy feeling about the steroid era, which I think a lot of hardcore baseball fans did.
Oh, you know me. I mean, we don't got to go down that road.
But
you
guess
know how
what?
I feel.
When it was happening,
everybody
we
loved
watched
it.
Every single second of it and ate it up.
Ate
Even
it
when
up.
We found out there might be steroid usage, we were like, I want to see if Barry Bonds can hit 73.
Right.
You know, you're still into it.
Right. Even me.
Chicks dig the long ball.
Even me. They don't dig the long ball right now because ratings are not improving as this is happening. So there are many things that I want to bring up real quick, and then we can dive into a larger discussion. There are a few things I want to say. Chicks dig the long ball. That's what we've been talking about, right? Ratings are no different this year than they were last year.
Okay.
It's still a regional dominant sport. The national level is not that big.
But the regional ratings, I'm sure, are great.
The regional ratings are still great, as they always have been. However, this surgence of home run balls is not changing the national narrative, okay, which is fine,
yeah,
which I don't think is a big deal. Also,
I think we've talked about this. Baseball will always be a regional sport.
Will always be a regional sport.
Yeah.
Also, there's this idea, I think home runs have become more prevalent because of launch angle. Okay, it's a new sabermetric, basically, that a lot of guys have started to see and have kind of retooled their plate discipline and their hitting approach to kind of focus a little more on launch angle. I think I've said this in the past multiple times, and I continue will. One of the reasons why I think Mike Trout is the best player in baseball is the way he swings his bat is for contact hitting mixed with launch angle, and no one else does it better than him, which is why he's the best player in baseball.
Absolutely.
So we see this launch angle, and that's why that's fantastic. However, I think one thing that Ken Rosenthal is probably missing, and this is the main point I want to discuss right now, is that, yeah, there's a lot of home runs being hit, okay? But a lot of these home runs being hit are not by guys hitting, they're not the top players, okay? You can watch a game, you can turn on and, you know, and Eddie Jose, you know, whatever, you know, Joe Blow, you know, whatever kind of John Doe, whatever name you want to make up, might be hitting a home run. You're like, whoa, Roberto Perez for the Indians. Every home run he hits from here on out in June is a career high, you know, and he's got 12. You know, well, guys are just tuning into their launch angle, but strikeouts are up higher than ever. And I'm looking at, and right now I'm looking at the best players in baseball, and I'm seeing guys with 26, 20, 23, 18 home runs. You know what their batting averages are? They're all over 300.
Yeah, because they're still hitting.
It's
not just home runs.
I'm looking at the fantasy. Like fantasy is a way that I like to look at it because stats are stats, and you can't deny stats. We take the name of the jersey off the front, and we focus on just the name of the jersey on the back, which I know isn't like a great sports thing. But here's the number one guy in fantasy baseball, according to Yahoo. This man has 56 runs scored, 83 hits, 26 home runs, 57 ribbies, 16 stolen bases, 41 walks, an average of 340, an on-base percentage of 438, and a slugging percentage of 734.
It's Cody Bellinger, isn't it?
No.
No.
It's Christian Yelich.
Ah.
Cody Bellinger?
51 walks. Oh, my God.
56 runs, 91 hits, 23 dingers. Yeah, Christian Yelich has more dingers than Cody Bellinger. 58 RBIs, 8 stolen bases, 46 walks, 355, 451, 699.
Very similar.
Okay? These guys are the home run leader. They're the home run leaders in baseball. And they are the guys that Rosenthal's talking about. Take that home run stat out. Those stats are stupid.
They're still the best
hitters. The Brewers and the Dodgers are good teams. They got players. But those are fantastic stats.
That's a great point. I didn't even think about that. That's a great point. Sure, you're going to have your Edwin Encarnaciones out there because that exists every single year in baseball. You've always had the guy who hits a bunch of home runs and hits for a lower average, and EE's hitting like 230 or something like that, but has the 21 home runs. But you're totally right. Every player is hitting more home runs. 5, 7, 8 years ago, Christian Yelich would have hit, if he was at the same level he was now, he would have maybe hit 20 in the whole year. He still would have had the same runs. He still would have had maybe the same RBIs, probably a little bit less without the home runs. Same walks, same average, all that kind of stuff. But he would have hit less home runs because he didn't have the launch angle, right? And that's a great point about the launch angle I didn't even think about.
It's what everybody's focused on.
Everybody. I heard a story today watching the Yankee game against the Rays. Cameron Maybin is hitting like 330
really well right now
and hit a home run in 4 straight games. And he said at the beginning of this year, he got with the coach and they started changing his swing to perfect the launch angle thing. And he said 2 days before he was traded to the Yankees, he figured it out. And when he got to the Yankees, he's just been raking ever since. He's just hitting. And you're right. They're hitting over 300. This is Cameron Maybin. We're talking about like the single stolen base guy who's always been a disappointment but had really high potential is hitting home runs and hitting over 300. It's the game is evolving, and that's not a bad thing.
No. The top 10 players in Yahoo Fantasy, okay?
No.
The top 10 players in Yahoo Fantasy. Let's see. I got 1, 2, 3 people are batting under 300. Those guys are Alex Bregman. I think most people would say he's pretty good.
He is.
He's batting 265 right now.
Ew. He must have been on a slump because he was over 300 for a while.
But he's got 20 dingers. He's got 50 ribbies. His on-base percentage is 400. Okay?
Okay.
So he's had a slump hitting. We all know Alex Bregman's good. Another dude's Trevor Story. Big strikeout dude. We know that. Still batting 294.
Mm-hmm. He's been good this year.
The third guy on that list is Mike Trout. He's batting 294.
Mm.
Okay. What do you think Josh Bell, who has been a home run phenomenon this year, the bright spot on the Pirates, and a kid who was a high prospect, had a rough year, had a great first year, had a rough year last year. What do you think his batting average is right now?
317.
319.
Wow.
319.
And that's a guy that you would naturally think would hit 240 and hit 30 or 40 home runs.
Exactly. He's got 20 bombs and he's batting 319.
Right. I also think the other thing to think about too, one of the things in the article that was mentioned is that we have more players over 20 home runs at this point in the season than I think we've ever had. Right. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of guys over 20. But think about it this way. He kept comparing it to the steroid era. In the steroid era, you had Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa going after the home run record of 61,
mm-hmm.
hitting 62, 66 home runs, 63 home runs in a season. And then Barry Bonds going full Balco and going 73 home runs.
Right.
We are June 19th. We are about 70 some games into the season. We're just about halfway, 6 or 7 games under halfway point of the season. And who's the home run leader right now? Yelich with 26?
Yeah, Christian Yelich is number one.
That's 52. That's on pace for 52, which is a lot.
Did he hit one today?
He did, yeah.
Because these Yahoo stats aren't today.
I think he hit one today.
So that would be 27.
So 54.
Man, he's good.
But at some point that will like, I mean, maybe not. He's the MVP and he might be it again. That might slow down a little bit. But 54 is a ton of home runs. That's not egregious. It's not like you're getting guys hitting 60 all of a sudden. And that's the top guy in the league, right? What did Stanton hit a couple years ago? 59?
Something like that.
And we're all celebrating it like it's a great feat, and now we want to start calling it bludgeon ball and how it's bad for the sport? No.
I had to go all the way down to the 13th best hitter to find anything that closely resembles what we used to see. And this is his, and he has had 263 career at-bats in Major League Baseball, and that's Pete Alonso.
Mm.
Right now, he has 24 home runs. He's batting .274.
Gary Sanchez, .261, 20 homers.
Yep.
Right. That's more what we're looking at.
Those
here
are the closest to that Adam Dunn, Joey Gallo's of the world.
Well, by the way, .260 and .271, way better than the Adam Dunn's and Joey Gallo's. Although Gallo's hitting well this year, too.
Right. But that's what I mean. Like, that's the closest I can find. The closest I can find of the top guys is a guy that's literally had 263 at-bats this season. Those happen to be 263 career at-bats.
The other thing is, again, I'm going to throw this out there. If this is happening this way, and you're getting the averages higher too, can you just look at the pitching and say it's not as good?
I think that's what it is.
How many bullpens have we seen this year be absolutely dreadful? And yet when you watch them, you go, oh, you are going to be dreadful. You watch them pitch and they are just leaving stuff over the plate constantly. Or they walk everybody. They're really wild.
Well, I think you look at guys, okay? I think there is the tier one, tier two. Okay, you've got your Max Scherzer, your Jacob deGroms of the world. Your
Hwinjin Ryus.
Your Hwinjin Ryus for sure. Your Blake Snells, your Justin Verlanders. That's your tier one. Your tier two might be your, who are some guys I'm thinking of? Your Trevor Bowers, your Clayton Kershaws, your, I'm sure there's a bunch of other dudes I'm just not thinking of right now. Max Frieds and things like that. Guys like that that are in that. The discrepancy between that tier two and tier three is ungodly.
Yeah.
It is unbelievably huge that you got aces and then you've got this tier two. Like, look at the Braves right now. Okay. They are full of a bunch of tier two dudes. That's that whole thing. And Julio Teheran, who's the seasoned veteran, is your tier three guy. But a lot of those dudes are kind of tier two dudes. And you look at other teams, and they are riddled with tier three guys. And that tier three is nowhere near two. The pitchers are either really great or garbage. And that's why you're seeing people swinging for the fences.
It's true. And I also think
And you sometimes miss, which is why Ks are up.
I think the true indication of if we have a problem or not is going to come in the playoffs this year. Because when you get to the playoffs, you get the best of the best. You get the best pitchers, right?
Right.
I mean, think about the Astros, for example. Yep, you're going to see Verlander and Cole in the playoffs.
Yep.
And
we're going to see Tanaka and maybe Severino. I mean, Tanaka had a beautiful start the other night. And this is why the Red Sox aren't going to win, because Price and Sale and Porcello aren't pitching well, though Porcello had a really great game yesterday.
And Sale's pitching better now, too, but Sale in the playoffs has never been super great. Although last year he kind of got the monkey off his back a little bit, but you know my point. Imagine Ryu in the playoffs, right? In the playoffs, you're going to see the best of the best. Can you, if the home runs continue at this rate in the playoffs, maybe you can say it's not just the pitching, right?
Agreed.
But we have to wait until that point. And because there's so much bad pitching, you're right, that it's kind of hard to make that fight right now.
And I love that. And we'll check back on that, because I guarantee you in the playoffs, it's going to be pitching, pitching, pitching like it always has since I was the age of 10 years old and watched
Major League Baseball. A lot of four to three games.
All right, when we come back, we got Fair or Foul. We'll do that next. But first, there's Joe with sports.
Is it fair?
Oh, my
goodness.
That's
a fair ball!
Or is it foul?
Well, he thought it was foul, I think.
A knowledge test for Patrick and Mike to see how well they know the big leagues.
Mathematics and strange symbols now, as far as Major League Baseball is concerned. The OBP and the SLG and the ISO and the you name it.
And what our distinguished hosts think about the stories that popped up around the big leagues.
Peralta knocks it into center. David tonight, 2-for-2, a leadoff single here in the fourth. And nobody noticed.
This is Fair or Foul on the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
This is Fair or Foul. We do this every single week at 8:30, but I don't want to waste any time. So without further ado, I pass this over to our fantastic producer, Mr. Joseph Fisher III.
Third. All right. So where are we here? Take a look at my sheet. All right. So we first start with Mike Trout, good at baseball. Breaking news.
Triple dope.
He had two home runs tonight in a career high 7 RBIs. He, I believe, has an OPS of 1330 in the month of June. Ow! Or since May 31st, I believe. Whatever. It's the same thing, basically.
Give him the extra day. He deserves it.
So, Mike Trout, he has 9 home runs in June. Fair or foul? He has 9 home runs in June while no one else in the AL has more than 7.
In June.
Yes.
June.
Or excuse me, more than 6. I apologize.
More than 6? Did Joe just give it away?
Did you just give it away, Joe?
Did I? I don't even know.
Who else in the American League is hitting dingers right now? Gary Sanchez hitting dingers.
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
Roberto Perez is hitting dingers if you're watching Indians games.
He actually has been, yeah.
Holla. Edwin Encarnacion be hitting dangers.
It's tough. I feel like I don't know in June who's been en fuego. So I'm going to go ahead and say foul because I think Joe messed up. But I think there's someone with 7. But it's probably Mike Trout who is well ahead of everybody.
I'm going to go with fair because I believe that Mike Trout is triple dope, awesome, and is the dude.
Well, I might have spoiled it, but I actually didn't. Patrick had the answer right. He just couldn't stick to his guns. Edwin Encarnacion has 9 home runs in the month of June.
What?
Wow. So I got it right. Nice.
Yep.
Mike was right, but I watch more baseball than Mike because I named the correct players.
You did name the correct player. I don't think Roberto Perez is on that list. But
how many home runs did Roberto Perez have in the month of June?
I want to say like 4 or 3.
It's never good when Joe has to move the microphone over to the computer. You're like,
I think
not
he hit home runs in back-to-back-to-back games and then stopped.
That's 3, Michael. That's called a winning streak.
Just like years and years and years ago. That's 3 years.
So you're looking at June.
I watched him hit 2 home runs in game 1 of the 2016 World Series, and I cried, and I was drunk, and I fell over a guardrail.
In the month of June, Roberto Perez, 6 home runs,
bam!
11 RBIs.
Bam!
I believe you mean the month of Janino, even though he sucks now.
Ah, yes, Janino.
Or still, I should say.
Don't we all remember Janino? All right, moving on from players that rake to just a team that rakes. Patrick's own Minnesota Twins, they're pretty good. Like Mike Trout, good at baseball.
Who doesn't like a good rubby action?
I miss Robbie De La Rosa. I wish he was still in the league so they could make that joke more often.
Yes, a shame. Be better. Twins. Are they so good that they, fair or foul, lead the American League in average, home runs, and OPS?
Oh, all 3 of them?
All 3.
Average, home runs, OPS? Yeah, I'll say fair. They've got a couple of guys on that team who hit for average, too. It's not, I mean, I guess kind of what we talked about last segment. A lot of these guys are not hitting 220 with a bunch of bombs. They're hitting like 280 with a bunch of bombs.
And they got Boomstick, who I guarantee you is hitting 220 with a bunch of bombs.
But they, Kepler's hitting well, I think. You got the Polanco kid who's hitting really well.
Rosario,
too. I would say fair. I'm assuming home runs and OPS, but average is the key. I'll say fair.
I don't love their pitching staff, and I don't love their bullpen.
Ooh, give me Jose Berrios all day, baby.
Agreed. But I don't love them as a whole. However, I do know that the Minnesota Twins are the only team in baseball that has not lost 3 games in a row. And that is probably partly due to their decent hitting. I'm going to say that, yeah, these guys are for real.
They are for real. They're fair real. This one's fair. That was bad.
I loved it.
Oh, it works, though.
I thought it was a great joke.
They are 846 in OPS, just above the Astros at 810. Home runs, 138, two above the Seattle Mariners at 136.
They've also played the Orioles like 30 times.
This is true. and the Twins with a 272 batting average over the Astros, 265.
272, not so bad. Right. The Astros, however, George Springer, Jose Altuve, and Carlos Correa have been on the DL for a while. Altuve came off today. Springer and Correa still on. Let's pump the brakes on the Twins. They are good. You are correct, Joe.
They will win the division, right?
Easy, easy.
Right, but pennant, yeah, as long as the Astros are healthy, those numbers and leaders may change. We go from
so jacked.
We go from one American League team who's doing fantastic to the Seattle Mariners.
To the Mariners, yeah. That's what,
Mike,
I assumed you were doing.
You knew it. And it's, I want to maybe play the fun game next week as who's worse, the Mariners or the Orioles? Because there's a lot of stat categories that they're going back and forth and being the worst in. But we know that they commit a lot of errors. Fair or foul? Mariners lead the league in errors by more than 20.
I'm going to go ahead and say foul.
Wait, the Orioles?
I'm going to say the Orioles are in second and by less than 20 away from the Mariners. Although the Mariners do have a lengthy lead in error. But I read something that the Orioles defense was atrocious this year.
I don't know, man. That Mariner defense is super bad. You saying foul?
I'm saying foul. The Orioles are closer than 20 in the error.
I got mad faith that the Mariners are going to not set the record, but be second all time in worst amount of errors of all time. And I think if the Orioles finished less than 20 away from them, that they would also be setting records. I'm going to say fair. Mariners defense is hot.
So are the Orioles. You haven't watched the Orioles yet this year, have you?
Why on earth would I watch the Baltimore
well,
Orioles?
Because your team hasn't played them.
And that is no offense to Joe.
No, that is
not even because my team hasn't played them. It's like, no. Like, no. I haven't watched the Marlins. I haven't even watched the Padres play a game.
The Padres are good.
I haven't even watched the Rangers play a game.
The Rangers are good.
Dude, I'm not interested in 7-9 bullpeep. Like, I'm not interested in that.
Well, I've watched the Orioles 10 times because they played the Yankees 10 times. And their defense is really bad.
Yeah, it is really bad. But screw you, Mike. Mariners have 81 errors to the Orioles 59.
Yes!
It is fair.
So it's 22.
Go Orioles, baby.
Go Mariners, baby. Get that record.
They have 81 errors already?
81 errors. The record is like 220.
That's more than there is games played.
Yeah, man. Dude, they average like 1.6 errors a game.
And, Mike, I'm just going to say to you, take a look at yourself in the mirror because Yankees have 57 errors, two less than the Orioles.
That's because Frazier has been playing in the outfield for a
Clint Frazier
while.
Made six of those in one game.
So, you know, build for the future and hope and rebuild and all that stuff.
Joe, it's your first year. It'll get better.
On to our last one. I'm just going to lay it out there. Fair or foul, the Portland Pickles will be holding a DB Cooper night this Sunday to try and solve the infamous case that rattled the Northwest back in 1971.
That sounds cool. I'll say fair.
Yeah, I'm going to say fair. Are we going?
Yeah, it is
like,
fair.
What's going on
and
here?
Not only is it fair, it made the front of MLB.com.
What?
Yeah. The Portland Pickles are...
Nobody cares about DB Cooper that much.
Apparently the Portland Pickles do because they are holding DB Cooper night, which I didn't know was a thing at all. Apparently DB Cooper set 47 years ago hijacked a Boeing 727 somewhere in the Northwest in the airspace between Portland and Seattle on the afternoon of Wednesday, November 24th, 1971. He extorted $200,000 in ransom and parachuted to a uncertain fate. Despite an extensive manhunt and protracted FBI investigation, the perpetrator has never been located or identified. The goal of this theme night is...
Isn't D.B. Cooper the infamous sketch with like the sunglasses?
Yes, that's who you're thinking of. Basically, they are asking Pickle fans to come together as a community, gather up some evidence that the FBI, I guess, maybe doesn't already have, and try to finally solve the case of D.B. Cooper.
Two things. There's a brewery in Vancouver called Victor 23 that they are D.B. Cooper themed. That's their jam. Two.
Is that the code name of the plane or something?
I don't know. Two. This is the most classic minor league
right.
job I've ever heard in my entire life. Okay, guys. I got this idea. All right. We are going to get everyone together, and I want you to all bring your dinosaur fossils to the stadium, and we will reconstruct the first dinosaur ever. All right, go Pickles.
Hey, minor league baseball theme nights are awesome. As someone who used to intern for the New Jersey Jackals, I was part of some of those.
Clearly, dude, DB Cooper night.
It's pretty fun.
Yeah. I'm saying fair. Yeah, man, we're going, right? I'm going. We're going. We're all going.
It's this Sunday. I'm busy.
I'm out of town, too. Plus, it's WWE pay-per-view that night.
Stop. There are no stars. There's no star power anymore, Patrick. Just let it go. About?
Becky Lynch? Seth Rollins? Get out of here, dude.
And just by the way,
Kofi Kingston,
also in Portland on Tuesday.
Apparently. Was his name DB?
DB Cooper.
I'm pretty mad at my parents if they named me DB.
I know a guy named DB.
Bryce Harper.
Oh right.
Oh. We did have
I did have a long conversation today about who are the biggest DBs in baseball / all time. That was fun.
Ty Cobb.
Somebody said, who's the biggest DB of all time? And the bartender was walking out of the cooler, and him and I at the same time went, Ty Cobb. All right, when we come back, we'll wrap up That Is Fair or Foul. We'll mail this bad boy in. This is the 1080 The Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
This has been a fun show today. It's 8:52. This is the Hot Corner.
I love you guys.
Love you too, bro. I had this really fun conversation earlier about the biggest DBs in sports, which is so in baseball, which is funny that Joe, you brought it up last segment. Who do you guys think are the biggest DBs in baseball?
Ty Cobb.
No, current.
Oh. Well, Manny Machado.
It quickly started with Manny Machado and Bryce Harper.
That was, even me, the first thought that came to my mind. And then,
so we were throwing some people around, and then I went Max Muncy, Cody Bellinger, Jock Peterson, Chris Taylor.
You just named the
Dodgers.
Every Dodger.
We're like the Dodgers. Except for Corey Seager, who's like, hey, guys, you want to play catch today? Mom said I can play a pickup game. You guys want to play?
Brian McCann.
Yeah.
Kurt Suzuki. What a D that.
AJ Pierzynski still.
Yeah, still.
The ghost of Ty Cobb. Just the spirit roaming around the grounds there.
Probably about half as angry, but yeah, still pretty high.
I said Max Scherzer.
Yeah.
The offspring of Ty Cobb.
Max Scherzer just seems like such a jerk. Somebody goes, he's not a DB. He's just an a-hole. He's the kind of guy that doesn't sign kids' autographs. Like, that does kind of look like Max Scherzer.
It does, yeah, although he probably signs plenty of autographs and we're very much
We're just labeling jerks.
That's a tough one. I don't think there's a lot of bad guys in baseball.
Dude, Alex Bregman has to be a DB.
Who's the guy that's been pimping?
Super bro-y, right?
Dude, he's so bro-y.
Who's the guy that's been pimping his home runs lately?
Oh, Derek Dietrich. Yeah,
I'm not okay with that.
Oh, there you
go. Not okay with that. Get him out of the league, DB.
I don't mind pimping your home runs, but he is
not okay in my baseball.
He's
nope.
Definitely juicing.
Anthony Rizzo. See, there's a tough
I think Javi Baez has a little bit
Baez
of DB.
Javi Baez is for sure a DB. But there's
Rizzo
this,
seems like you're...
There's this tough line.
Guy next door, neighbor, like goofy dude.
No, he's a bro. He's a bro for sure through and through. That's the question. Does being a bro make you a DB?
Not all the time.
I don't think being a bro makes you a DB.
But if you are a stereotypical bro, then yes, you are a DB. Because yesterday, I was out having some drinks with the wife, and we were at our local tap room.
Then you did the white man's overbite.
And we two super bros walked in. What is happening?
Sorry, Joe and I are both, trying to,
You so angrily were moving. That's and it really threw me. It was like a squirrel moment for me. I was very confused.
That's all right, continue. Continue.
Two of the most bro-y people I've ever seen, stereotypes to a T, walked into the place.
Yeah.
And they were making some sort of comments about like, oh, what are you going to get? I don't know, man. Whatever is the highest ABV, bro.
Oh, yeah, dude.
And I was like,
voting by ABV.
And I was like, okay, here we go. And they walked inside. We were outside. I went inside to go to the bathroom and I had to wait because there's only one bathroom.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were sitting near it and their conversation. Oh, my God. I was like, that is stereotypical, bro. So if you're stereotypical, bro, then I think you are a DB.
I feel like it's kind of like an accent. You know, if you spend enough time around a certain area, you start to pick up on the accent. And that's kind of the same thing. If, like, you're a bro, that doesn't necessarily mean that you are a DB.
Right.
It just means if you hang out with those DBs, you're more likely to become one. You have a better chance.
This text says Trevor Bauer.
Trevor Bauer is for sure a DB.
And this one says Brett Gardner. He might be one, too.
I think he's super angry looking.
Super angry.
Jose Bautista is a former DB.
Out of the league.
But I think there is a real thing. Like, if you're a bro, that's one thing. You know, and I can't stop saying bro. Like, I know bros that are nice guys.
That's what I said.
Okay. I have a server on my staff that is a very awesome guy. I would go have drinks for him. Is he a bro? For sure he's a bro. But he's not Bryce Harper bro.
Right, that's what I'm saying. If you are the stereotype, which is a very extreme example, and it's not a lot of them. I say them. A lot of
people.
What do you mean, you people? What do you mean, you people?
And I can't stop saying bro.
If you're in that group, I think it's automatic. That's all. But it's a small group. That's all I'm saying.
As we sign off on this fantastic show and we'll see you guys next week, I think we've realized that I'd rather hang out with a bro than a DB. Just too bad because I know a really nice guy whose initials are DB and we call him DB. And he is not a DB, but that's his name.
Now you're going to have to think about it every time.
I know. Way to ruin that. All right, for Mike Lynch, Joe Fisher behind the glass, I'm Patrick Harris. Go, we'll see you next week. Go to do something I would do, like hang out with bros instead of DBs, clearly. Bah. Don't say it ain't so. You know
the time is now. Go. We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.